Greetings, and welcome to Profound Medical Corp. First Quarter 2018 Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Sydney Stewart. You may begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me start by pointing out that this conference call will include forward-looking statements regarding Profound and its business, which may include, but is not limited to, expectations regarding the efficiency of Profound's technology in the treatment of prostate cancer, uterine fibroids, and palliative pain. Often, but not always, forward-looking statements can be identified by the use of words such as plans, is expected, expects, scheduled, intends, contemplates, anticipates, believes, proposes, or variations, including negative variations, of such words and phrases, or state that certain actions, events, or results may, could, would, might, or will be taken, occur, or be achieved. Such statements are based on the current expectations of the management of each entity. The forward-looking events and circumstances discussed in this conference call may not occur by certain specified dates or at all, or could differ materially as a result of known and unknown risk factors and uncertainties affecting the company, including risks regarding the pharmaceutical industry, economic factors, the equity markets generally, and risks associated with growth and competition. Although Profound has attempted to identify important factors that could cause actual actions, events, or results to differ materially from those described in forward-looking statements, there may be other factors that cause actions, events, or results to differ from those anticipated, estimated, or intended. No forward-looking statement can be guaranteed. Except as required by applicable security laws, forward-looking statements speak only as of the date on which they are made, and Profound undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, other than as required by law. On the call today representing the company are Dr. Arun Menawat, Profound's Chief Executive Officer, and Aaron Davidson, the company's Chief Financial Officer and Senior Vice President of Corporate Development. With that said, I'll now turn the call over to Arun.
Thank you, Sydney. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to welcome you all to Profound Medical's Q1 2018 conference call. Before we get started, I'd like to formally welcome and introduce Aaron. It's especially opportune to do that now since, in addition to having overall responsibility for operational finance, financial reporting, corporate development, and strategic planning, he will be taking on an active role in helping us manage our relationships and interactions with the investment community. I think you will all notice pretty quickly that Aaron is ideally qualified for this role. He has an executive management track record that spans close to three decades. That includes more than 14 years on the buy side as a managing director of HIG, serving on a number of portfolio company boards, and about 10 years in industry with Eli Lilly in various finance, business, planning, marketing, strategy, business development, and general management roles. I've known him both personally and professionally for a long time. In fact, he was on the board at Novadaq for a number of years. During that time, I came to highly value his insights and counsel. I'm really looking forward to working with him again. I will now turn the call over to Aaron for an update on the financial results, and will then come back on the line later to update you on our commercial activities.
Thank you, Arun. And to all those on the call, on behalf of everyone at Profound, I would like to thank you for your ongoing interest in our company. And for those of you who are shareholders, we appreciate your continued support. As Arun mentioned, he and I have had the pleasure of working with each other in the past, with me as an early investor in and on the board of Novadaq, a company that he very successfully led for about 10 years. In my mind, like Novadaq did a few years ago, Profound has emerged as one of the most attractive opportunities there is in the medical device space. So I'm very excited to both join the company and work with Arun again. With that said, I would like to provide a brief update on our first quarter 2018 financial results. For the three-month period ended March 31, 2018, the company recorded revenues of $376,000, with $372,000 from sale of products and $4,000 from installation and training services. As we mentioned in our press release, this did not include any new system sales. It compares to $592,000 in the same period last year, which in contrast was driven primarily by the recording of revenues from the sale of two Tulsa Pro systems in Europe. With respect to our costs, our R&D expenditures were $634,000 higher for the 3 months ended March 31, 2018, compared to the same period in 2017. The increase in R&D spending was primarily driven by the Sonalive transaction, which occurred subsequent to the Q1 2017. Salaries and benefits, consulting fees, and rent were higher compared to Q1 2017 due to a higher number of personnel, new initiatives with the Sonalive product, and new facilities in Finland. Offsetting these was a decrease in clinical trial costs, materials, and share-based compensation resulting from the completion of the TAC pivotal clinical trial enrollment initiatives and the forfeiture of some share options. Amortization of intangible assets increased by $271,000 due to the Sonalive transaction and amortization of the acquired intangible assets. G&A expenses for the 3 months ended March 31, 2018 were higher by $185,000 compared to the 3 months ending March 31, 2017. Consulting fees, share-based compensation, and other and office and other in, and other increased by a total of $292,000 due to increased legal fees associated with the Sonalive patents, the inclusion of Sonalive operations, and increased share option vesting this quarter. Those costs were offset by decreases in salaries and benefits and rent that totaled $196,000. Depreciation expense increased by $87,000, primarily due to leasehold improvements constructed at the new facility in the latter part of 2017. Overall, the company recorded a Q1 2018 net loss of $4.9 million, or 6 cents per common share, compared with a net loss of $4.1 million, or 7 cents per common share for the same three-month period in 2017. As of March 31st, Profound had cash of $38 million, which we believe will be sufficient to fund operations and begin pre-commercialization activities in advance of the potential launch of Tulsa Pro in the United States in the second half of 2019. As of today, the company has 107,617 377 common shares issued and outstanding. With that, I'll now turn the call back over to Arun.
Thank you, Aaron, and welcome again. I would like to start by addressing the revenue in Q1. They're lower than our expectation, but as you will see, that does not mean I'm any less bullish for the year 2018. As I have said before, it is difficult to predict quarter-over-quarter revenues at this early stage. Until now, our limited sales have largely been capital device sales. Going forward, there will be a blend of capital, disposable, and pay-per-click. In addition, as I've said in the past, we're still in a limited pilot launch of both Tulsa Pro and Sonalive in very limited market, and a very small sales team in place for now. Instead, we're investing in properly developing our sales methodology and testing our business efforts. At the same time, we're also working to expand the markets for our therapeutic platform both in terms of treatments and geographies, as well as are working to ensure access to by working to establish reimbursement. We do not feel it would be good for use of precious shareholder capital to launch more robustly until we are substantially prepared for a full commercial effort. During this pilot launch stage, our revenue will likely be bumpy and somewhat unpredictable. We're making progress, and these efforts but will still be in limited pilot launch for some time. Our efforts today are definitely paying off. There have been three major developments since the start of the year that bode well for meaningful growth in 2018 annual revenues over 2017. First, as of January, both TULSA-PRO and SonaLeave became part of the Philips sales catalog, and as of April, TULSA-PRO became part of the Siemens sales catalog. We have been investing our time in training the respective sales teams of the two companies. It is a major initiative for us, and it will take time before the sales teams of our partners begin to build their own pipeline. Both Philips and Siemens function as distributors of the capital part of our product, as they have the ability to bundle them with new MRs and strengthen their relationship with one of their customers by adding our device to an existing MR. From a long-term perspective, I believe this is going to be a winning strategy, as we do not want to build a capital sales team, but do want to leverage their team. Second, our own team, which is primarily focused on driving utilization, has begun testing utilization sales model for TULSA-PRO. There has been an uptick in the utilization of the few devices that are already in the field, as the feedback from patients has been positive and the physicians who have used the technology are beginning to become more comfortable with administering the treatment. We believe that at this stage and over the long haul, a pure recovering revenue model might be superior for us and our customers. In Q1, we authorized sales team to initiate a recurring revenue-only sales pilot by testing TULSA-PRO on a no-upfront cost basis. Since we receive about $2,500 per patient for disposables, we believe this could not only be profitable quickly on an individual install-based device basis, but could also be a driver of faster adoption, which is a higher priority at this time. On a short-term basis, though, it hurts the top line, as a bigger ticket upfront capital sales isn't there. Finally, while we test the recurring revenue-only model for TULSA-PRO, we still expect that majority of our revenue in 2018 will still consist of capital revenues, because TULSA-PRO recurring revenues are slower to grow in the beginning compared to capital, and the current model for SonaLeave is capital only. In that regard, our internal Q1 plan calls for SonaLeave sales in Asia, more particularly China. As I mentioned during our last call, regulatory approval in China was delayed, so we didn't accomplish the SonaLeave sales in Q1 that we had expected. But as most of you know, we announced very good news on the front yesterday. Moving forward, with the CFDA approval now obtained, I do believe that the commercial rollout in China will boost capital sales in the second half of 2018 and to a large extent make up for the lost time. I would like to focus the rest of the opening remarks today on two topics: advancing the development of TULSA-PRO towards successful commercialization in the United States and executing our commercial plan for an overall therapeutic platform in international markets where TULSA-PRO and SonaLeave are already approved. Let's start with the TACT trial. For any new participants on our call, TACT is a prospective, open-label, single-arm, pivotal clinical study that is designed to further evaluate the safety and efficacy of TULSA-PRO to ablate prostate tissue in patients with localized organ-confined prostate cancer. We were originally targeting enrollment of 110 patients, but due to the strong momentum going into the final days of recruitment and requests from our investigators to allow them to finish all the scheduled patients, we added 5 additional patients to the study, all within the acceptable range of the pre-agreed protocol. I'm excited about one big difference in our TAC study. That is that 2/3 of the patients enrolled in our intermediate risk patients. These patients are considered to be at a level of risk such that while therapy is recommended, the current standard of treatment with either radical prostatectomy or radiation comes with a relatively high risk of side effects such as erectile dysfunction or incontinence. The disease in these patients is confined within the prostate, and we believe that treating the intermediate risk patient population is the sweet spot for our TULSA technology due to its strong safety profile. Bottom line, we believe that the TAC trial will not only provide the clinical data that we need to file for the FDA clearance, but will also allow us to demonstrate the benefits of using our technology in the intermediate risk patients as compared to other more invasive procedures. Having said that, we also plan to conduct additional clinical trials to continue to increase the body of evidence along the lines where we see additional benefits of using our technology for these patients. Specifically, we expect to initiate a trial for salvage patients and support investigator-supported studies in areas of targeted therapies or partial gland ablation as compared to TACT, which is about full gland ablation. We're also expecting more investigator-sponsored studies of TULSA-PRO to treat BPH. Coming back to TRACT trial, we're pleased that Dr. Lawrence Klotz, a world-renowned expert in prostate cancer, will present additional interim data from the study in a plenary session at the upcoming meeting of the American Urological Association meeting that will take place in San Francisco between May 18th to 21st. Dr. Klotz's presentation will include PSA nadir on all 115 patients, as well as information on serious adverse events for the full body, full study. The presentation is scheduled at 8:20 a.m. Pacific Daylight Savings Time on May 21st. If any of you are attending the conference, I encourage you to attend the session. Since this will not be webcast, we will issue a press release as soon as possible after the completion of the presentation. Effectively, the full data set on the primary endpoint relating to safety and efficacy will be presented on May 21st. Secondary endpoint of TACT focused on quality of life side effects commonly associated with current prostate cancer therapies like erectile dysfunction or urinary incontinence will not be presented. The standard evaluation period for these side effects is 12 months post-treatment, and the sample size of evaluation of such patients is not yet large enough to be meaningfully assessed. We anticipate that all of the 12-month data, including the side effect data, will become available in Q1 2019, at which point we will complete the file and submit it to the FDA for 510K de novo clearance. If all that goes well and we gain approval, we expect to be in the market in the United States in the second half of 2019. Hopefully, you can hear our enthusiasm for TULSA-PRO. We are equally pleased that with the acquisition of the Sonali product from Philips, we are now a platform company. Sonali is an excellent technology which has been the subject of over 200 peer-reviewed publications in applications ranging from destroying painful uterine fibroids while preserving the fertility potential of a woman, to the palliative pain treatment of bone metastasis. We have completed a meta-analysis of the 200 publications and have developed a strategy to bring this technology to the United States. We are reviewing it with the FDA at this point and hope to be able to further announce details when we hear more definitively from the FDA. In the meantime, as I mentioned earlier in my opening remark, we are pleased that the China-US FDA has approved the product. We believe that Sonalleve is well-suited for sale in that country and especially pleased that Philips will function as our distributor as they have a well-established presence there and a substantial market share in the MRI market. It is too soon to unveil our launch plans for China today, but we will certainly do that on our Q2 call. Finally, we have recently strengthened our management team and commercial operations with the appointment of Aaron, as we have already discussed, and of Ian Heinen to the newly created position of Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing. Both of these executive team appointments were designed to help support our ability to maximize our platform's full commercial potential, both in North America and internationally. Ian brings a tremendous amount of relevant experience and medical device purchaser relationships to Profound. He was a key member of the team at Hologic with responsibility for more than $600 million in revenue across all regions outside of the United States. His career at Hologic began in 2010 with an acquisition of Sentinel Medical, a breast MR imaging company for which he served in the dual role of Chief Financial Officer and Chief Operating Officer. While he was at Sentinel, Ian helped negotiate global distribution agreements with GE Healthcare, Siemens Healthcare, and Toshiba Medical, through which sales went from startup first revenue to over $25 million annually. I'm excited that we are able to attract an executive of his caliber to Profound. To summarize today's discussion, the TULSA-PRO U.S. Clinical Development Program is proceeding well. We are pleased at the product that the products are now part of the Philips and Siemens catalogs. We expect to regain our sales momentum helped by pending launch of Sonalleve in China as we move forward, and we have significantly strengthened our management team with the appointment of Aaron and Ian, and are confident that with both of their help, we'll maximize a large opportunity that we see ahead of us. This ends my prepared remarks for today. With that, we are happy to take any questions that you might have. Operators, please open the conference calls.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your headset before pressing the star keys. Our first question is from Paraksh Broud with CIBC. Please proceed.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, Arun, and welcome, Aaron. I have a few questions. First, on Sonalleve, you mentioned in your prepared statements, that you're pursuing some new initiatives, and also you mentioned new facilities in Finland. Can you just elaborate a little bit on those two first?
Sure. So first, with the Sonalleve, you know, it's a very well-designed product. Philips engineers did a great job of putting this product together. And since the acquisition, we have moved the manufacturing of the product to the facility that we acquired. It used to be produced in Netherlands in a Philips manufacturing company. And that transition has actually gone very well. So it actually gives us a little bit of cost advantage to move to our own facility. And now with the approval in China, we actually think that that is one place that this product has tremendous opportunity. several reasons. You know, one is that, you know, as everyone knows, China, particularly the healthcare side of China, is a growth market, and that Philips has significant presence, and to the best we can see, the sales team is quite excited about this product there, that as they are bidding for new hospitals and new contracts, that this is a therapeutic platform that they can bring, and they can certainly bypass some older technologies that might be less interesting to a growing country like China. And another thing, and particularly interesting, is that this is, you know, we will start with uterine fibroids there, and certainly there are a number of young people there, and the disease is quite prevalent. And the idea that they can be treated with no incision and they can literally go home the same day, I think would be quite appealing to the young crowd in China. So that's the reason why we picked that country, and that's the reason why we are, you know, quite confident that we will be able to regain our sales momentum.
I know it's early. You're still planning to launch the product, but is there any idea on what the likely sales cycle for Sonalleve in China is potentially to be? Kind of a timeline or rough timeline from first interaction to actual PO, and how that might compare with Europe?
Yeah, good question, Prakash. I think that at the moment, our expectation is that we will see results in the second half of this year.
Okay.
There is certainly some hospitals where they did conduct the original clinical trials that have, you know, verbally expressed interest. And so in the early stage, I would say, you know, I think second half of this year is probably a reasonably aggressive goal. Over the long haul, I don't know how long the cycle will be, but I definitely think we will be able to provide more information, you know, quarter over quarter to you. But in the short term, I think anticipate results in the second half of this year.
And just one question on Tulsa, if I can.
Sure.
Can you just remind me on, or update us on what the sales and marketing infrastructure is now in Europe, in terms of numbers of sales force, and what you expect that to be, say, towards the end of 2018? And then around that, what do you think is really the optimal number of salespeople to have if money wasn't really an issue?
Yeah. So that's a great question, and as you know, we have been, you know, very methodical as we developed this. So we've not really hired a lot of salespeople, and you heard from the prepared remarks, we have a very small team. So really, we have one salesperson who is focused in working with Philips at the moment. We have one salesperson who is driving utilization at the moment. We have one service person who is helping service the install base. And we have one, you know, management person who is, you know, overseeing all of this and continuing to build the relationships with Siemens and you know, broadening the scope of what we want to do. That's it. So it's a very small team at this point. And what we really wanted to do was really first bring someone of Ian's caliber who can really then scope the pipeline that we see out there, and not only begin to increase the staff, but also to really create clusters where it can be a very productive staff. And so that is what Ian is in the process of doing. That is certainly one of the reasons why we did the financing in Q1 also, to be able, and we, you know, kept our costs under control until that time. And so Ian is, in fact, now in the process of you know, building and growing, you know, and looking at our pipeline, and you will begin to see that we will hire, you know, additional sales staff. In terms of numbers, I would say we probably will add, you know, 3 or 4 more people by end of this year. I think that would be a fair assumption.
Thanks very much.
I might add a little bit, follow up a little bit on that. So our mindset is to build out the business model and, in fact, test out a couple of business models and not build out too much infrastructure, i.e. Salesforce and cost overhead, until we're confident in the business model. And that's why Arun has consistently referred to this as a pilot launch. And as well, right now what we're going after is patient self-pay and a few insurance companies who are covering it. As we work towards reimbursement and see success with that, we'll build out more of an infrastructure to really drive commercial success. But in the meantime, we continue to believe this should be a pilot launch where we work through these aspects, make sure we have it right, and then put in place the structure to really make it the large opportunity. The second piece of that is, you know, we should set expectations that we believe Sonalleve China is a big market opportunity, and we believe Tulsa Pro U.S. is a big market opportunity, and that our focus really is on learning as much about our product, developing as much clinical data, developing health economics models to prepare for launches in those two places, and that our European activities are really a good way to sort of cover costs as we build out the business model.
Yeah. Europe is really about understanding the business model. Yeah.
Can I just ask a follow-up then, if I might? Just
sure.
Around when you comment around testing different business models, can you elaborate a little bit on what you refer to the difference in those business models? Is it strictly around managing reimbursement, or are there other issues?
No. You know, I think there are a number of things we're testing, right? So, you know, we're working with our partners at the moment for the capital side of the equation, and that our goal is to focus on utilization. That is certainly one aspect. Another aspect is to look at a model where we lower the bar in terms of the upfront capital that we demand from the hospitals at the moment, and we rely more on the utilization side. And as I mentioned, that we were looking to make sure that, you know, before we get to a model like that, that the installs that we have today, that we see an uptick in the utilization of that. So we know that that model has some validity to it, that it's not willy-nilly just placing devices. So that is the other business model that we are now engaging. In Q1, we've asked the sales team to move forward with that model. The third one, as Aaron already mentioned, relates to reimbursement. So we are, within the placement of these devices, we're looking for certain hospitals that will become, for example, the calculating hospitals in Germany on the basis of which long-term reimbursement is assessed, and certain hospitals that are primarily driven by what I kind of refer to sometimes as medical tourism, where it's primarily paid by the patient. And given that this is such a unique technology, we think that itself is a very interesting model. And so far, it is proving to be quite functional. So I think that's what we mean about different business model.
Thank you for the explanation. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, it is *1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from Dr. Rahul Sarajasar with Paradigm Capital. Please proceed.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions, and welcome to both Ian and Aaron. You covered much of the sales and marketing very well with Prakash's questions, so I'll focus a little bit on data and regulatory. So, Arun, you mentioned that all 115 patients' PSA data will be presented at the AUA meeting, and that you said some of the adverse event data. Would you be able to elaborate on what adverse event data we might be able to see at that presentation?
Sure. So, Rahul, what I was saying is that we will there is a safety data that is collected when the trial is conducted. And so this is about, is there anything that happens to the patient as a result of the procedure itself? So you know, so that data itself is what, you know, FDA cares about, because, you know, they're looking for, you know, is there some harm in doing procedures in general. And so that data, we have it now for all 115 patients, and that data will be presented at the meeting also. So I apologize if I confused you. It's not some patients. We'll present full cohort, the 115 PSA data of the Nadir PSA, and we'll present the safety data on all 115 patients. What we are not presenting is the long-term side effect of the procedure, because the long-term is typically measured at 12 months, and we don't have the 12-month data yet. But the rest of it we will be presenting at this meeting, or Dr. Klotz will be presenting at the meeting.
Okay, great. Thank you. That clarifies it a lot. My next question is around Sonalleve. Congratulations on the CFDA approval. And you mentioned that, there's been a focus on expansion of the platforms both into other indications as well as into other geographies. So are there any other target geographies for the Sonalleve system now, given that you have had success with the CFDA?
Yes. So clearly I think that United States is another important market for Sonalleve also. And as I mentioned in our call, in the prepared remarks, we have been communicating with the FDA for the last more than 3 months. We have received communication with them. We feel very comfortable with what we have received. So we are, we have some level of reason to feel that there is movement forward with the FDA. Having said that, Rahul, I'm not comfortable sharing anything more at this point. I want to make sure that we have a definitive plan that is fully well thought out before we make it public, and my best guess is we will be able to do it at the end of Q2 call. So not too far away.
That's fair. Thank you very much. And then I have one last question before, and I'll be happy to yield. So during the last quarterly call, we talked quite a bit about BPH and all the excitement around development of the Tulsa-PRO for BPH. Have there been any further developments in the last quarter around BPH? And that's my last question.
Yes, very good question. So, yes, at the last call, what we talked about was that there have been enough patients done that we believe that we have a very good solution. And particularly, I think the most important point is that we have demonstrated the ability to treat very large prostates that are well over 70 cc to somewhere we've treated like 140 cc prostate. And for that particular patient population, we do not believe that there is any good solution in the market today. So that is number one, our focus. Number two, yes, as I mentioned in the prepared remarks, there will be three studies that will begin in the second half of this year. They're all at the moment in Europe, and they are designed to explicitly do clinical trials focused on BPH. And so we will definitely continue to update you on a quarterly basis on the status of those studies.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Excellent, Rahul. Thank you.
There are no more questions at this time. I would like to turn the conference back over to Arun Menawat for closing remarks.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us this afternoon. Look forward to updating you at the Q2 conference call. Thank you.
Good night, all.